Okay, this is the time and place set for the workshop on proposed regulation pertaining to Chapter 604C of the Nevada Administrative Code, NAC, as provided by Senate Bill Number 432 in conjunction with the recently codified Nevada Revised Statutes, NRS Chapter 604C, Consumer Litigation Funding, as described by the Notice of Workshop, dated and posted on October 2nd, 2020. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, and the time is 10:02 a.m. This hearing is scheduled for 10 a.m. and is being recorded. Financial Institutions Division staff present at today's hearing is Commissioner Sandy O'Loughlin, Deputy Attorney General Vivian Rakowski, Examiner and your coordinator today, Jennifer Ramsey, and myself, Deputy Commissioner Mary Young. If you have not already done so, please take the time to mute your telephone or microphone until you would like to provide comment. And again, this call is being recorded. Please turn off your video, keep your phone or microphone muted until being called upon by the coordinator. If you're joining by web, please activate the chat by clicking the dialog balloon and enter your information on the sign-in sheet for the meeting record. If joining by phone, please email fidmaster@fid.state.nv.us to request to sign the form. For all comments, please do the following to let us know when you wish to comment. For those joining by web, type an X in the chat box. For those joining us by phone, when the coordinator opens up comment for call-in participants, please speak up at that time. Clearly state and spell your first and last name and business affiliation before you begin your comment. I will be reading the Legislative Council Bureau's proposed regulation R036-20 today. Please refer to the proposed regulation sent to you on October 2nd, attached to the Notice of Workshop email, or you may download a copy from our website at www.fid.nv.gov, or you may request a copy by emailing fidmaster@fid.state.nv.us. It is important to emphasize that the purpose of this workshop is to obtain input from all interested parties in the process of adopting regulations pursuant to NRS 604C. In today's hearing, we will be soliciting general comments regarding the subject matter contained in those sections of the Legislative Council Bureau's draft proposed regulation in accordance with the provisions of the statutes. We will now move on to item 2 on the agenda, which is public comment on the proposed regulation. If you have written material that you would like to submit, please email it to fidmaster@fid.state.nv.us. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person or less due to time constraints. Comments will be taken first from those individuals that joined in by the web and second from those individuals that joined in by phone. Clearly state and spell your first and last name and business affiliation before you begin your comment. Web participants, please type an X in the chat box if you wish to provide comment. Jennifer, do we have anyone that wishes to comment?
I do not see anybody who wishes to comment.
Okay, for the call-in participants, is there anyone wishing to provide comment?
I'm sorry, we had one come in from the web.
Oh, okay.
Eric Schuler.
Okay, Mr. Schuler, we're ready for your comment. Mr. Schuler? I'm sorry, sir. We can't hear you. If you could unmute your phone. Mr. Schuler? Okay, we may need to circle back to him because we cannot hear you. It looks like we have another person that would like to provide comment, so we will go to that person and we'll go back to Mr. Schuler and see if he can, if we can hear him at that point. Jennifer, who's the next commenter?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Adam Smith.
Hey, Mr. Smith, we're ready for your comment.
Are you able to hear me?
I am able to hear you, yes.
Thank you. I just had a few small points that I wanted to bring up. If we look at section 20 of the statute, or of the regulations, excuse me, there's a reference to a statute, which is NRS 659.098. When I when I looked at that statute, it did not appear that that was the correct reference that the state was looking for. And I actually don't know exactly which statute the state was looking for to tell you, but I wanted to suggest that somebody would take a look at that statute and see what specifically the state wanted to reference in that section.
Okay, thank you, sir. That was section 20, and it references 658.
It's NRS 659.098.
Okay, that is one of our other statutes, but I will double check that to ensure that LCB put the correct reference. And sir, if you could please state and spell your name and your business affiliation for the record.
Sorry, you said that. I apologize. It's Adam Smith, and I'm affiliated with Money First Lending.
Okay, no problem, sir. Okay, thank you for your, yes.
I also had a comment about section 21. In section 21, it asks us as companies to identify the funding that we have done. And one of the things that is requested in there is the name of the customer. I would suggest that we be allowed to submit a customer identifying number and then have, you know, within our business, the ability to provide the state with any reference to that customer. I'd be concerned about all of our customer names being in a central repository somewhere, even though I understand the rest of the regulations suggest that those will be kept confidential. I would think that it might just be a better practice or a safer practice for our clients to allow us to use an identifying number.
Okay, thank you for your comment.
And that was it. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We will go back to Mr. Schuller.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, sir.
Okay. Sorry about that. Had a wrong configuration. I do have a few comments on some of these, so I can take them one by one.
Okay.
First one is, sir,
if you could please state and spell your name slowly and your business affiliation.
Yeah, Eric Schuller, E-R-I-C-S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R, and I'm the president for the Alliance for Responsible Consumer Legal Funding, also known as ARC.
Okay, we're ready for your comment. Thank you,
okay.
Sir.
Thank you. My apologies again. So in first one, in section 3, number 2, if the consumer seeks more than one consumer legal litigation funding, basically saying that they can only get the document prep fee once. I guess my question is on this is for clarification as well. If a consumer gets a secondary funding from a different funding company, so let's say they get $1,000 from company A and they wanted more money, and company A said, we don't feel comfortable in funding you more money, they go to company B. Company B says, okay, we'll give you $500 more in your case. Is Company B allowed to charge a document prep fee if Company A has already charged one?
Okay, that's something that we have to look into and get back to you on that, to look at what the intent of, the language of the LCB provided.
Our intention, for just clarification, is that when the statute was being drafted and that part was discussed, is that each company be allowed to charge a document prep fee because they are going to be having document costs and preparation costs for every time they do that. And then if this is not allowed per company, it could really stifle the consumer because it would basically disincentivize the secondary company from giving money on a case. And that consumer may have gotten, go to a secondary company either for additional money or maybe reduced rate or whatever it is. So it's in the consumer's best interest that they be allowed that charge.
Okay, thank you for your comments, sir. We will definitely take note of that and look into that.
Okay. In section number 4, if a consumer mails a notice of cancellation, dealing with that, what we're just specifically requesting here is that the companies be allowed the same time frame to notify the attorneys of the cancellation as the consumer was allowed to notify the companies. So by statute, the consumer is allowed to notify the companies within 5 business days of cancellation. And that cancellation basically requires a two-step process, to my understanding, is that it requires a written notification to the funding companies, but in addition to the written notification, also requires all funds be returned to the funding companies in a secure method, meaning money order, cashier's check, things along those lines. And so we're just requesting is that that same time frame be allowed to the funding companies to notify the attorneys, because it made that turn because of remote locations and everything else like that, the companies may not have the ability to notify the attorney in that short time frame within 1 business day.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. On section 5, the acknowledgement of the consumer, the attorney, basically signing the contract all at the same time. This is our recommendation, is that this rule be stricken. This is literally impossible to do. This is not like a mortgage where everybody's sitting in the room around a table at the same time. Consumers may sign it at one time, attorneys may sign it at a different time, and funding companies may sign it a third time. Everybody's signing it through DocuSign type of documents, and to have everybody executed at the exact same time is, especially nowadays when we're everybody's working remotely and we're having to do these via web, that's impossible to do. So we're respectfully requesting that section be stricken.
Okay. And sir, you did provide all of this to us in comment, correct? In written comment?
Correct. Correct. I just want to go through this in case there's any clarifications that need to be done here, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yeah. There's a 3-minute limit for
okay.
comment.
All right. And then number 7 is on ethical advertising. We're just requesting that be stricken as well, because that would be limiting the companies in the amount of time in which they can possibly put some advertising out there for themselves as well. And since I think my time is getting close here, and also to just run, excuse me, reiterate what Mr. Smith said before in the consumer names be stricken. None of the other states that have similar requirements, and I double checked that this morning, have that same requirement to have the consumer's name. They all either have an identifying number that is done, or the consumer's name is totally not put in the report. We just want to make sure the consumer's names are protected so that none of this information gets out. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Jennifer, do we have any other commenters?
Sorry, we have Kim Alvorsen.
Okay, we are ready for your comment. Kim Halvorsen, if you can please unmute yourself and clearly state and spell your first and last name and your business affiliation.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Thank you. It's Kim Halvorsen, K-I-M Halvorsen, H-A-L-V-O-R-S-E-N, with Oasis Financial. Thank you for the opportunity to make some comments. I would simply like to echo Mr. Schuler's remarks as it relates to the acknowledgement in Section 5. And to the extent that that section will not be stricken, I would simply ask that companies be permitted to perfect that acknowledgement in 2 separate electronic documents, one signed by the attorney and the other signed by the consumer and countersigned by the consumer legal funding company. The other section that I wanted to make a comment about would be Section 9, and that pertains to communications with consumers prior to execution of the contract. As drafted, this provision suggests that companies cannot communicate with the consumer via email prior to execution of a contract. From a practical matter, you know, when our company, much like many others, receives requests for legal funding, 99% of those are coming through via telephone. And then consumers are asked how they would like to receive the contract. And the vast majority of those consumers all ask that the document be transmitted via email. And so this provision suggests that we can't communicate with consumers prior to execution of the contract, which just really creates some operational challenges for us that can't be understated on the business side. So we would ask that this recommendation or this section be stricken as well, and the department authorize companies to communicate with consumers electronically to facilitate the execution of the contract. Lastly, my last comment pertains to section 23, and that is as it relates to complaints filed against funding companies. We would simply request that those complaints also be sent electronically in addition to United States Post Office. You know, the penalty for failure to file an answer within 10 business days is extremely harsh, and we would simply ask that electronic delivery be a way in which we can receive those complaints, and that the deadline for which to file an answer be extended to at least 21 days, which would allow that to be consistent with the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure. It's just a really tight turnaround time, especially for those companies that don't have a brick and mortar facility within the state of Nevada. I appreciate the opportunity to make comments and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your comments, ma'am. Jennifer, do we have anyone else that would like to provide a comment at this time?
We have Heather O.
Okay, Heather O, we are ready for your comment. Please state your first and last name and spell it in your business affiliation, please.
Yes, Heather O'Neill, H-E-A-T-H-E-R-O-N-E-I-L-L. I am with Preferred Capital Funding Nevada. And I'm just going back to Section 5. Just we would like to go with Mr. Shuler and also have this stricken because it would be virtually impossible to have all the parties to sign at the same time.
Okay.
And that is my only comment.
Okay. Thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Jennifer, do we have any other participant that would like to provide a comment at this time?
There are no more comments from the web.
Anyone that is called in would like to provide a comment? Okay, seeing no additional comments at this time, I will move on to item number 3, the presentation of the proposed regulation. Section 1, Chapter 604C of the NAC is hereby amended by adding thereto the provisions set forth as Sections 2 to 25, inclusive of this regulation. Section 2, as used in NRS 604C.360 and 604C.380, the Commissioner interprets properly to mean that the delivery of the contract or the forwarding of the notice of the cancellation, as applicable, must occur not later than one business day after the contract is executed or canceled. Section 3. A consumer may seek more than one consumer litigation funding contract per legal claim. The total amount of consumer litigation funding provided by a consumer litigation company to a consumer must not exceed $500,000 per legal claim, regardless of the number of consumer litigation funding contracts taking on the legal claim. 2. If the consumer seeks more than one consumer litigation funding contract, A, with a different consumer litigation funding company than the company from which he or she obtained the original consumer litigation funding contract, the different consumer litigation funding company must comply with paragraph E of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.300, and B, the consumer litigation funding company with which the consumer seeks additional consumer litigation funding contracts must make the disclosure pursuant to paragraph F of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.350. 3. Pursuant to NRS 604C.110A, a consumer may pay only one document preparation fee for legal claim, regardless of the number of consumer litigation funding contracts taken on the legal claim. And B, a consumer litigation funding company shall not charge a document preparation fee if the consumer has previously paid a document preparation fee with regard to the legal claim. 4. Pursuant to NRS 604C.30, the amount to be paid to a company under a consumer litigation funding contract must not exceed the funded amount plus charges not to exceed a rate of 40% annually. If pursuant to subsection 1 of NRS 604C.360, the payment schedule in a consumer litigation funding contract contains multiple 180-day periods in 1 year, the charges for the consumer litigation funding contract for each 180-day period must not exceed a cumulative rate of 40% annually. Section 4. If a consumer mails a notice of cancellation to the consumer litigation funding company pursuant to subparagraph 2 of paragraph C of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.350 and subsection 2 of NRS 604C.360, or if a consumer notifies the consumer litigation funding company as described in subsection 3 of NRS 604C-360, the consumer litigation funding company shall forward such notices to the attorney or law firm retained by the consumer in the legal claim of the consumer not later than 1 business day after receipt of the notice. Section 5. The acknowledgement described in paragraph G of subsection 3 of NRS 604C.370 must be signed by the consumer, the attorney retained by the consumer in the legal claim, and the consumer litigation funding company at the same time. Section 6. As set forth in a consumer litigation funding contract pursuant to subsection 4 of NRS 604C.360, a consumer litigation funding company shall not collect 1. Anything if there are no proceeds from the legal claim, and 2. Any amount above the available proceeds from the legal claim if the funded amount and agreed-upon charges exceed the proceeds from the legal claim. Section 7. 1. Intentionally advertising materially false or misleading information pursuant to paragraph C of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.300 includes, without limitation, advertising by use of false or deceptive statements, results, or testimonials. 2. A consumer litigation funding company shall not advertise in any manner that A, may tend to confuse the identity of the company with any other consumer litigation funding company, or B, states or implies that a consumer litigation funding contract of a prospective consumer with another company will be paid off, or that the charges or fees for the consumer litigation funding contract will be reduced if the consumer litigation funding contract is transferred to the consumer litigation funding company which is advertising. 3. No unethical advertising by consumer litigation funding companies will be permitted, and the commissioner reserves the right to require all consumer litigation funding companies to submit proposed advertising for approval before through the press or by radio, television, or the internet. Section 8. 1. To file a consumer litigation funding contract with the commissioner pursuant to subsection 5 of NRS 604C.300, a consumer litigation funding company must submit the contract to the commissioner for approval. A. When the applicant submits his or her application to obtain a license to engage in the business of consumer litigation funding company. B. When a consumer litigation funding company makes any changes to the consumer litigation funding contract. C. If requested by the commissioner or his or her authorized representative when making an examination pursuant to NRS 604C.610. D. If requested by the commissioner when the licensee submits the report required by NRS 604C.640, and E. At the request of the commissioner or his or her authorized representative. 2. The consumer litigation funding contract filed pursuant to subsection 1 is a template and must comply with NRS 604C.300 to 604C.400 inclusive, except that the provisions concerning the details of individual consumer litigation funding transactions, including, without limitation, signatures, initials, and the amount of the consumer litigation funding transaction, may be left blank. Any required details left blank must be filled in when the consumer litigation funding contract is used to establish a consumer litigation funding transaction. 3. A consumer litigation funding contract filed, A, pursuant to paragraph A of subsection 1, is deemed approved by the commissioner when the commissioner issues and delivers a license to the applicant applicant pursuant to NRS 604C.560. B. Pursuant to paragraph B of subsection 1, is deemed approved by the Commissioner 30 days after the Consumer Litigation Funding Company files the changes to the Consumer Litigation Funding contract with the Commissioner, unless the Commissioner notifies the Consumer Litigation Funding Company in writing that the changes are not approved or need to be amended. And C. Pursuant to paragraph C, D, or E of subsection 1, is deemed approved by the Commissioner upon the filing of the Consumer Litigation Funding contract with the Commissioner. Such approval may be revoked by the Commissioner not later than 30 days after 1. Such filing if the Consumer Litigation Funding contract fails to conform to the requirements of subsection 2, or 2. An investigation or examination made of the office or place of business of the Consumer Litigation Funding Company if the Consumer Litigation Funding Company fails to comply with the provisions of this chapter and Chapter 604C of NRS. Section 9. Except as otherwise provided in paragraph C of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.350 and subsection 2 of NRS 604C.360, once a consumer litigation funding contract is entered into between a consumer and a consumer litigation funding company, the consumer litigation funding company may communicate with the consumer through electronic mail if the consumer consents in writing in the consumer litigation funding contract to such communication through electronic mail. Section 10. A licensee that uses a form or consumer litigation funding contract written in a language other than English shall have the document translated into English and shall maintain a copy of the document with its English translation. 2. A document translated pursuant to this section must be A. Translated by an interpreter who is 1. Certified by the court administrator in accordance with the provisions of NRS 1.510 and regulations adopted pursuant thereto, or 2. Approved in writing by the Division of the Financial Institutions of the Department of Business and Industry, B. Accompanied by a certificate issued by the interpreter, the certificate must 1. Declare that the translated document is true and complete translation of the document written in language other than English, 2. Identify the document written in a language other than English and its English translation, 3. Include the date of the translation, and 4. Include the name, address, telephone number, and electronic mail address, if any, of the interpreter. 3. The Commissioner may require a licensee provide a translation of any non-standard document that is written in a language other than English. 4. The Commissioner may assess a licensee for all costs incurred by the Commissioner to verify the licensee's compliance with this section. Section 11. Each licensee who operates an office or other place of business within this state that is licensed pursuant to Chapter 604C of NRS shall make available at the office or place of business within this state the books, accounts, papers, records, and files of the office or place of business to the Commissioner or its representative of the Commissioner. Section 12. An application submitted to the Commissioner pursuant to NRS 604C.500 must be accompanied by a non-refundable fee of $1,000 for the application and survey, b. A non-refundable investigation fee of $50 for investigating each individual owner, partner, officer, director, and manager, or member who acts in a managerial capacity of the business entity applying to be a licensee, and c. An initial licensing fee of $1,000. 2. If the Commissioner considers an application withdrawn pursuant to subsection 3 of NRS 604C.500 and the initial licensing fee set forth in paragraph C of subsection 1 has been submitted to the Commissioner, or if the Commissioner does not grant an application pursuant to NRS 604C.560, the Commissioner shall refund the fee paid pursuant to paragraph C of subsection 1 to the applicant not later than 30 days after the withdrawal or denial. Section 13. Upon entering an order granting an application pursuant to NRS 604C.560, the Commissioner will issue and deliver a license to the licensee for each location proposed pursuant to paragraph D of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.500. The licensee shall prominently display the license at each location where the licensee proposed to do business pursuant to paragraph D of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.500. Section 14. A licensee who wishes to change the name of the licensee or change an officer, director, or manager, or member who acts in the managerial capacity of the licensee must not later than 10 days before making the change give written notice of the proposed change to the Commissioner. 2. Upon receipt of the proposed change pursuant to subsection 1, the commissioner will provide written approval of the change and the date of the approval. Section 15. A partner, officer, director, manager, and registered agent of the business entity, if applicable, must satisfy the requirements of NRS 604C.510 at the time a business entity applies for a license pursuant to paragraph B of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.500. 2. If the provisions of subsection 1 are not satisfied, the commissioner will not issue a license to the business entity pursuant to NRS 604C.560. Section 16. A person shall not engage in the business of a consumer litigation funding company unless 1. The person has been issued a license pursuant to NRS 604C.560, and 2. The location of each office of the business complies with the provisions of any applicable planning and zoning ordinance. Section 17. A license issued pursuant to NRS 604C.560 expires January 31st of the year following its issuance and expires on January 31st of each year thereafter. 2. On or before January 31 of each year, a licensee may renew his or her license upon the approval of the commissioner if A. The licensee files an application showing that the licensee conforms with the requirements for an initial application as set forth in this chapter in Chapter 604C of NRS, and B. The licensee pays a fee of $1,000 for the renewal of the license. 3. If a licensee fails to renew his or her license pursuant to subsection 2 on or before January 31 of each year, the commissioner will deem the license to be suspended. A licensee shall not engage in the business of a consumer litigation funding company if his or her license is suspended. 4. The commissioner may reinstate a license that is suspended pursuant to subsection 3 if the licensee whose license is suspended within 10 business days after his or her license is suspended. A. Notifies the commissioner of his or her intent to reinstate the license. B. Submits an application pursuant to paragraph A of subsection 2. And C. Submits the fee pursuant to paragraph B of subsection 2. 5. If a licensee fails to reinstate his or her license pursuant to subsection 4, the commissioner will deem the license to be revoked. A licensee whose license is revoked shall apply for and obtain a new license pursuant to this chapter in Chapter 604C of NRS before he or she may engage in the business of a consumer litigation funding company. 6. It is the responsibility of the licensee to renew a license issued pursuant to this chapter in Chapter 604C of NRS on or before January 31 of each year. A lack of notice from the commissioner to any person concerning the expiration of a license or the need to renew a license is not justification or excuse for failure to renew a license on or before January 31 and does not constitute grounds for a waiver of any of the requirements of this chapter or Chapter 604 of NRS, 604C of NRS. Section 18. The commissioner will charge and collect a fee of $75 per hour from each licensee for any supervision, examination, audit, investigation, or hearing conducted pursuant to Chapter 604C of NRS. The commissioner will bill each licensee upon completion of the activity for the fee established in subsection 1. The fee must be paid within 30 days after the date on which the bill is received, in addition to any other fee allowed by this chapter or Chapter 604C of NRS. And except as otherwise provided in this subsection, any payment received after that date must include a penalty of 10% of the fee plus an additional 1% of the fee for each month or portion of a month that the fee is not paid. The commissioner may waive the penalty for good cause. 3. Failure of a licensee to pay the fee required in subsection 1 as provided in this section constitute grounds for revocation of his or her license. Section 19. Except as otherwise provided in NAC 658-030, each licensee shall pay to the Division of the Financial Institutions of the Department of Business and Industry an annual assessment of $300 to cover costs related to the employment of a certified public accountant and the performance of audits and examinations conducted by the Division. 2. The Division shall bill each licensee for the assessment, which must be paid within 30 days after the date on which the bill is received. In addition to any other fee allowed by this chapter, or Chapter 604C of NRS, a charge of 10% of the assessment will be imposed on any licensee whose assessment is received by the Division after the date on which the assessment is due. Section 20. Each licensee shall pay to the Division of the Financial Institutions of the Department of Business and Industry the assessment to cover costs of legal services provided by the Attorney General to the Commissioner and the Division, which is imposed pursuant to NRS 659098. The Division shall bill each licensee for the assessment described in subsection 1. The licensee shall pay the assessment within 30 days after the date on which the licensee receives the bill. A charge of 10% of the assessment described in subsection 1 will be imposed on any licensee if payment for an assessment described in subsection 1 is received by the Division after the date on which the assessment is due. 4. Failure to pay the assessment described in subsection 1 constitute grounds for a revocation of the license of the licensee. Section 21. The report due on or before January 31, pursuant to NRS 604C.640, must be 1. Be filed with the Commissioner with the application for renewal required pursuant to Section 17 of this regulation and on a form prescribed with the Commissioner, and in addition to the number of consumer litigation funding transactions and with the company engaged in this state for the immediately preceding year pursuant to paragraph A, subsection 1 of NRS 604C.640, contained for each consumer litigation funding transaction, A, the name of the consumer, B, the funded amount for each consumer, and C, a detail of all charges and document preparation fees charged to each consumer. Section 22, except as otherwise provided in subsection 3 of NRS 604C.640, an application for a license and financial records, if any, submitted by an applicant pursuant to the provisions of this chapter and chapter 604C of NRS, financial records or other documents submitted by a licensee pursuant to an audit, examination, or investigation conducted by the Commissioner, and any report of examination made by the Commissioner are confidential and may be disclosed only to an authorized employee of the Division of the Financial Institutions of the Department of Business and Industry or an agency of this state, any other state or federal government that is investigating the activities of an applicant or a licensee or a court upon a court order. Section 23. Upon the receipt of a complaint filed pursuant to NRS 604C.820, the Commissioner shall send a copy of the complaint to the licensee named in the complaint. 2. The Commissioner may require the accused licensee or authorized representative of the licensee to file a verified answer to the complaint within 10 business days after sending the copy of the complaint pursuant to subsection 1. The Commissioner may, for good cause shown, extend the time to file a verified answer for a period not to exceed 60 days. 3. If the licensee or an authorized representative of the licensee fails to file a verified answer within the time prescribed by the Commissioner pursuant to subsection 2, the licensee is deemed to have admitted to the allegations contained in the complaint. 4. Subject to the discretion of the Commissioner and except as otherwise provided in section 22 of this regulation, a complaint filed with the Commissioner, any documents filed with the complaint, and any report of information resulting from an investigation of a complaint are confidential. Section 24. For the purpose of NRS 604C.820, a licensee shall post the notice set forth in subsection 2. The following conditions apply to the notice. If printed, the notice shall be printed in at least 16-point bold type or font, with all uppercase letters being printed in at least 18-point type or font. B. If handwritten or displayed digitally or by other electronic means, the notice must be in characters that are equivalent in legibility and size to the type and font required for a printed notice. C. If the licensee uses a language other than English for the consumer litigation funding contract, the notice must be posted in English and also in the language other than English. 2. The following notice shall be posted on the internet website of the licensee at the physical location where the licensee conducts business and within the body of the consumer litigation funding contract. The notice shall be substantially the following form. Notice of right to file a written complaint to the Commissioner of Financial Institutions. You may file a written complaint with the Commissioner of Financial Institutions by submitting a signed complaint to the Office of the Commissioner. The form required to file a complaint can be found on the following internet website for financial institutions, www.fid.nb.gov. You can also request the form by calling the following toll-free telephone number, 1-866-858-8951. Section 25. If the Commissioner finds that a licensee's records are not maintained pursuant to NRS 604C.600 to 604C.640 inclusive. The Commissioner may require the licensee to deliver an audited financial statement prepared from his or her own records by a certified public accountant who holds a certificate to engage in the practice of public accounting in this state. 2. The statement required pursuant to subsection 1 must be submitted within 60 days after the Commissioner requests the statement. The Commissioner may grant a reasonable extension for the submission if the extension is requested before the statement is due. That completes the presentation of the proposed regulation. We will now move on to item number 4. We will now open up to public comment once more. If you would like to make an additional comment, please do so. There's no need to reinstate a comment that has been already made. Comments will first be taken by those individuals who joined us via web, and the second from those individuals who joined us by phone. If you would like to make a comment and you joined us by the web, please place an X in the chat box now. Jennifer, do we have anyone that would like to make a comment?
We have Eric Schuler.
Okay, Mr. Schuler, we are ready for your comment.
Thank you very much. Just one additional comment, which was not addressed in the proposed rules on section 19. It says payment schedule to the funded amount of charges, basically in 180-day increments. We're just respectfully requesting that if a company, let me back up a half a step here. The intention of this was so that the consumer would have this basically in 6-month increments, so twice a year they would know. But as we know, 180 plus 180 is not a full year. It's not a full calendar, 365 days. Just respectfully requesting that the department allow companies to either do this in 180-day increments or in 6-month increments, but with the approval of the department. So we're not asking the department to do something the department has not approved, but if a company wishes to submit their contract in 6-month increments, that they be allowed to do so with the approval of the department.
Okay, I believe that is a statutory requirement of the 180 days, so I don't believe we're going to be able to give the approval, but we will look at it. Oh, I'm talking to myself. Okay, we will look into that, sir. I believe that is a statutory requirement of the 180 days, but we will look into see if that is something that the division can or cannot do. Thank you for your comment.
I appreciate it.
Jennifer, do we have anyone else that would like to provide comment?
We have Cassie Steitler.
Okay.
Yeah, for the record, it's Casey Steitler, CaseyStitler, with the law firm of Lewis Rocha Rothgerber Christie, on behalf of the American Legal Finance Association. And a couple of quick comments, and we've provided our comments in written form as well. But with regard to Section 7, I believe there was a comment made previously about the term used in Section 7.3 regarding, you know, unethical advertising, in that term is undefined. And given that the statute and the prior section, I believe it's Section 7.2, provide guidance on the type of prohibited advertising, we think that term is really unnecessary and just adds undue ambiguity in terms of the types of advertising that are prohibited. And additionally, with regard to Section 7, I believe it reserves to the commissioner the ability to essentially pre-approve advertising prior to any dissemination. That's not contemplated anywhere in NRS Chapter 604C. More so, the provisions within the proposed regulations don't really provide any guidance as far as, you know, the timing of that approval, whether and if the commissioner will exercise that reserved authority regarding advertising. So we would respectfully request that term unethical be removed from Section 7, and that the reference to the commissioners reserved authority to essentially pre-approve advertising also be removed from Section 7. And then on another note, with regard to Sections 14 and 15, they both refer to officers, directors, and members of consumer litigation funding companies that act in a managerial capacity. That term is used in the chapter, but in both instances in the chapter and in the proposed regulations, that term managerial capacity is undefined. So in the event that a consumer litigation funding company may have, for instance, minority shareholders who don't actually have any authority to determine the business activities of the company, it would seem that the requirements in Section 14 and 15 really wouldn't apply to them. So we would ask that some discussion be had or some thought be put into potentially defining managerial capacity and limiting it to those officers, directors, and managers who have the authority to actually direct the business activities and management of the consumer litigation funding company. And then as a third and kind of final comment, as many of the others have been brought up, with regard to section, I believe it's 8.1B, requiring the consumer litigation funding to provide or file with the commissioner a copy of any consumer litigation funding contract and whenever any changes to the consumer litigation funding contractor are made, that would be very onerous for consumer litigation funding companies to provide and then wait the 30 days for approval anytime any change is made to a consumer litigation funding contract. Oftentimes the contract may be changed or modified or amended in a non-material manner, for example, to make it easier for consumers to understand. The organization or format of the agreement may be changed. So we would ask that section 8.1b be stricken from the proposed regulations or clarified and limited to material changes to those consumer litigation funding contracts as it pertains to portions of the contract that are actually governed by the chapter.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your comments. Jennifer, do we have anyone else that would like to provide a comment at this time?
There are no more comments from the web.
Okay. Any call-in participants would like to provide a comment? Okay. Hearing nobody else would like to provide a comment, I would like to say if you haven't already done so, if you could please take the time to sign in on the form in the chat section so we have record of who attended today. Okay, and we will now close the workshop. The workshop pertaining to Senate Bill 432 in Chapter 604C of the Nevada Administrative Code is hereby closed and adjourned on October 21, 2020 at 10:49 a.m. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.